So Fonterra had a vision to build a large number of farms in China. They've obviously slowed down that vision. As you can imagine, with milk prices where they are, their focus is very much on cost efficiencies. And from what I understand, they've completed the two hubs to their finished state, and they have indicated that they are slowing down now and just focusing on getting those operations working well.
So if you and I were looking out over that at the moment, how many cows could we see?
We would see something like 30 plus thousand cows in milk, plus a similar number of young stock.
It's huge, isn't it?
Well, housed farming, so everything came from New Zealand or was born in China.
Do you, with retrospect, think everybody's overshot the market?
No, not at all. China is a huge market that will continue to grow for our lifetimes at least, and far beyond there, I believe. We say that there's a blip in the market at the moment, but there will be ongoing demand for milk produced properly in China and for milk produced from the rest of the world. But you cannot do it alone. You cannot go in, no matter how big you are as an international company, you have to have a Chinese association, whether that's a joint venture partnership or some form of arrangement. Chinese are great people. We sadly, or certainly speaking as a New Zealander, sadly we don't understand them well enough. And often what we see and don't like is because we don't understand where they've come from and how they act and behave. I would rate, a number of Chinese amongst my best friends now.
Of course, Chinese have an interest in the agribusiness sector in Tasmania and interstate. Do you see those misunderstandings here too?
Yes, absolutely. I made the comment at the ABEA conference recently that Chinese, they're not thinking about investing for today or tomorrow. They're thinking about investing for their children's 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 future. So their outlook on life and on investment is so far greater than your average investor. So yes, they're buying land perhaps, but not with a view to what's going to happen to it tomorrow. They are truly thinking the long term at a term that we would never consider.
This then is the 22nd century.
Yes, and so all of their thinking, all of their planning is how do they enhance their investment for the long-term future.
So, how do we work with that from this Western perspective?
I think it gives us a great opportunity. I mean, as farmers, as people involved in agriculture, we love the land and we want to protect it. We want to make sure it's there for future generations. That actually meshes perfectly with what a Chinese or we should say an Asian rather than Chinese, what an Asian agricultural investor wants to do as well. So it can be a perfect fit if people can get past their preconceptions and actually align their understandings and see what the future can hold. I think it opens up huge opportunities.
Well, let's make this cross-cultural conversation even more complex because between China and here, you spent time in South America, so a sort of Latin overlay as well.
Yes, you would be very hard placed to go from a more different cultural perspective from moving from China to Uruguay. Definitely tested the boundaries around cross-cultural awareness and so forth. To this day, and most people find it hard to believe me, I still say that China was so much easier, even with the language intricacies thrown in. But South America, vibrant place, huge opportunities. I mean, it's a huge continent. Uruguay itself is one of the smallest areas in South America, but still, producing masses of milk, masses of meat. Very much, many similarities to Tasmania in
We're
terms of,
talking temperate agriculture.
temperate agriculture. But their focus is beef, milk, viticulture, very similar to what we're doing here.
What were you managing?
So I was looking after what used to be called New Zealand farming systems. So corporate farming business, dairy farming, 49 farms, approximately 45,000 cows and milk plus young stock.
The challenges were where?
The main challenges are the minute you get a number of farms, obviously you're trying to get systems and processes not just in one farm but spread over a number of farms, spread across a number of geographies. And whilst my Spanish is, I can understand Spanish pretty well, my spoken Spanish still leaves, let's say, a lot to be desired.
Of course, Tasmanians often think of themselves as being their own little culture.
Yep.
So how's the settling in period going here?
Oh, look, when I left Tasmania, I said quite openly that it was a state that one day I thought I would come back to. I have always felt very comfortable in Tassie and have always enjoyed the Tassie culture and the Tassie people. So I hadn't been looking for a role. I was having a couple of months off travelling and enjoying South America. I saw that Chris was moving on and had quite a long chat with Chris Oldfield, the previous CEO, and thought, well, the timing wasn't quite the plan, but life's like that. And flying into Launceston in January to talk to the board, just felt really quite nice getting off that plane and, you know, as we flew in, flying in over Launceston, even though it was very dry.